The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 1, Text Number 9, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 3rd, 2009, in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
So tonight, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 1, the first step in God realization. Text number 9, 219, Bhagavatam.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Parinishthitopi Naigunya. Parinishthitopi Nairgunya. Uttama Shloka Lilaya. Grihita Chetara Jarshe Akhyanam Yad Adittavan.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
O saintly king, I was certainly situated in perfectly in transcendence. Yet I was still attracted by the delineation of the pastimes of the Lord, who is described by enlightened verses. The absolute truth is realized as the impersonal Brahman at the first instance by philosophical speculation, and later on as the supersoul by further progress of transcendental knowledge. But if, by the grace of the Lord, an impersonalist is enlightened by the superior statements of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is also converted into a transcendental devotee of the personality of Godhead. With a poor fund of knowledge, we cannot adjust to the idea of the personality of the Absolute Truth. And the personal activities of the Lord are deplored by the less intelligent impersonalists. But reasons and arguments together with the transcendental process of approaching the Absolute Truth help even the staunch impersonalist to become attracted by the personal activities of the Lord. A person like Sukadeva Goswami cannot be attracted by any mundane activity, but when such a devotee is convinced by a superior method, he is certainly attracted by the transcendental activities of the Lord. The Lord is transcendental, as are His activities. He is neither inactive nor impersonal.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Dam Sajiva Sadaitam Zabadutam Puri Jana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha.
So, Sukadev Goswami was impersonalist in the womb of his mother. The impersonalist has to stay away from the material nature. He has to stay in a secluded place somewhere, lest he become contaminated by seeing a woman or seeing a billboard or something like that. He has to be very careful, stay away from the material society, you see. So, Sukadev, to play it safe, he stayed within the womb of his mother. He was 16 years old, still staying in the womb of his mother. You can imagine the difficulty his mother was going through. He would not come out of the womb. He did not want to fall into Maya. But when he heard the transcendental Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of his father, Srila Vyasadeva, he became a personalist. He became a Vaishnava, and he knew he had nothing to fear of the material world, so he came out. But just to play it safe, that they might, his parents might ask him to get married or something like that, he took off running immediately. Brahmachari, you see. He's Brahmachari. Sukadev Goswami. He's one of the 12 great Mahajanas also. Svayambhur Nadadashambhu Pralada Kumara Kopilo Munu Pralado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vyasakir Vyam. That's Vyasakir, is Sukadev Goswami. He's one of the great Mahajanas. So now he is speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj, explaining that he was situated in transcendence. He's talking about impersonal Brahman realization, which is considered the beginning step of transcendental realization. I was situated perfectly in transcendence. You may say perfect. I thought Krishna consciousness was perfect. But you know what Prabhupada says? He says, Brahman realization, that is perfect. Paramatma realization, that is more perfect. And Bhagavan realization, that is most perfect. So, Sukadev was perfectly situated in transcendence. Not more perfectly or most perfectly, but perfectly situated in transcendence. But when he heard the delineation of the pastimes of a Lord who was described by enlightened verses, not ordinary verses, you see, but enlightened verses which are full of light. If something is enlightened, that means it's full of light. So those verses that he heard are so brilliant with light that they can illuminate the entire universe. The sloka itself can illuminate the entire universe. So when he heard those verses, that was it. He became a Vaishnava. So the point is that Krishna's transcendental pastimes are more attractive than Brahman, the nirvana of the impersonalist, you see, that Brahman. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is described by the term Nirvana Vilambitani, that which minimizes the value of the liberation of the impersonalists. Nirvana Vilambitani. So, one who takes to this pathway of Krishna consciousness, he is no longer attracted by impersonal Brahman. The Mayavadis, the impersonalists, they want to merge and become God. They have an impersonal conception of God. They want to merge into that impersonal oneness. for the Vaishnavas, they become greater than God. Krishna is ajita, he is unconquerable. But he becomes jita or conquered by the love of his devotees. So by love, the devotee, he becomes even more powerful than God himself, you see. So that is our philosophy. Why try to become God when you can be greater than God? I mean, being God's an inferior position. You know, you say, what's the proof? That sounds very strange. The proof is Lord Chaitanya. You see, Krishna is God himself. He is seeing that his devotee, Srimati Radharani, she is deriving more pleasure by serving Krishna than Krishna is deriving by being served by Radharani. Krishna is not one to be outdone by anybody, okay? So when he saw that Radharani is tasting more bliss than he is, he said, I will also taste that bliss of being a devotee. I will become my own devotee, you see. So he took the complexion and the mood of Srimati Radharani, that Gaurangi Radharani, you see. And he became Gauranga. Krishna joined the Bhakta program, Bhakta avatar, you see. He became a Hare Krishna. So you can't tell me it's not cool to be a Hare Krishna. And God himself became a Hare Krishna devotee, you see. Nothing more cool than being a Hare Krishna. And that's the supreme enjoyer who lives a cooler existence than anybody in the whole existence. He opted to become a Hare Krishna. So if it's good enough for Krishna, it's good enough for me, isn't it? The supreme enjoyer who can do anything he wants. He's not held back by anything, you see. He has unlimited money, unlimited girlfriends, unlimited wives. I mean, he's got everything. He can manifest airplanes just out of his mind, automobiles, golden chariots. He has unlimited facilities. Palaces made of marble with, you know, with jewels. They don't need electricity, light. I mean, Krishna has unlimited material facility, but yet he said, this is not as relishable as being a Hare Krishna devotee. I'm just going to become a Hare Krishna devotee and really taste the nectar, you see. So, there's nothing more relishable than being a devotee, you see, as Sukadeva Goswami realized, you see. And that Brahman realization, it may appear to be very nice, but the bottom line is, patanti adho. Bhagavatam says, those who realize impersonal Brahman, patanti, they fall down again, you see. Vimukti maninas, Bhagavatam says. Their liberation is in the mind only. It's mental liberation. They're not really liberated. I'll give you an example. You may say they're in the spiritual world. How you can say they're not liberated? They're beyond birth and death. How you can say they're not liberated? But I'll give you an example. When I was a young brahmachari in our Dallas temple back in 1972, we got a call from the prison. There was one prisoner who wanted to come to the Sunday feast. And the prisoner, because of good behavior, the prisoner was giving him a weekend pass. One afternoon off from the prison. He had very good behavior. It was a minimum security prison. So I drove out to the prison. I picked him up, brought him to the love feast. He had a great time. Then I drove him back to the prison after the feast was over, you see. So he was out on a temporary pass, you see. He was in Vaikuntha. He was in Krishnaloka, our Dallas temple, relishing the nectar like anything. But then he had to go back to the prison that night to take rest, you see, go back to his cell for the evening. So Brahman realization is like them. It's a temporary pass. Because of pious activities and austerities, you see. You can't get it by taking LSD or some cheap process. By great penances and austerities, aruya krishchena, the Sanskrit word. You know that Sanskrit word? Krishchena. By great, great penances and austerities. Even the word sounds difficult. Krishchena, you see. By great penances and austerities, one can get that weekend pass to have a little look at the spiritual sky, to float around up there for a little bit, you see, until you burn off the reactions for all your pious activities and bloop, back down again, you come to Kuala Lumpur, you see, this material existence. So why bother trying to emerge into Brahman when you can only go there temporarily, you see? When Krishna consciousness is millions of times more relishable, you see. I mean, Krishna consciousness is, if Krishna consciousness is millions of times more relishable than the person of a man, then how much more relishable it is than sex? You see, Brahman is millions of times more relishable than sex, and if Krishna consciousness is millions of times more relishable than Brahman, that means it's billions of times more relishable than sex. Therefore, one can become celibate and be happy, you see. You know, in ISKCON, we have five different kinds of brahmacharis. Did you know them? We have five different kinds of... You know them. Five different kinds of brahmacharis. We have brahmachari, brahmachari. We have brahmacharini, brahmacharis. We have grihastha brahmacharis who only have sex when they're trying to make their wife pregnant, otherwise strict celibacy. We have vanaprastha brahmacharis, and we have sannyas brahmacharis. Five different types of brahmacharis, you see, in Krishna consciousness. Tapasa brahmacharina, you see. This brahmachari life is very sweet, it is very relishable, you see. It means you don't pass samana except for producing a child, otherwise no samana passes. You keep that samana, it will urdhva reta. It will rise up your spinal column to your brain and give you very good intelligence for memorizing shlokas and realizing the highest truth and living a long, healthy life. Those who pass samana unnecessarily are calling death very near. They will die an untimely death. They will suffer from disease and so many things. So brahmachari life is very, very important thing. It is not artificial renunciation. You know that Jamunacharya Albandru of South India? He was formerly king, and you know those kings, they had so many women. Not only the queen, but all the maidservants also. Can you imagine what facility they had? Along with the queen comes dozens of maidservants, and that he can enjoy sex with all those maidservants too. It's part of the king's position, you see. But he gave that up, you see. He became a pure devotee of the Lord. Then he wrote a beautiful poetry. You know that poetry? Yadavadi mama cheta Krishna pradara vinde Nava navarasa damanyun yattarantu masit Tadavadi bhattanari sangame smaryamane Bhavati mukashushtu nishtivanam cha. I love that poem. He says, ever since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, tasting what? Everyone can figure this one out. Nava, nava rasa. Newer and newer taste, you see. Getting, in other words, getting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter nectar, you see. More and more juicy, relishable nectar, day by day, minute by minute, nanosecond by nanosecond. More and more rasa, nava, nava rasa. Tasting newer and newer pleasure in that service. If by chance the thought of sex enters my brain, what do I do? My lips curl with this taste, and I spit at the thought. Yuck. You see? Is that artificial? No, that's real. If I gave you, in one hand, a bowl of strawberry ice cream offered to the deities, organic strawberry milk and organic strawberries, from a protected cow on a Krishna conscious farm, and strawberries grown by the devotees organically, I offered you such strawberry ice cream in one bowl and a stool in the other. Would you have any problem choosing which bowl to take? Nice juicy stool, like the hogs in Vrindavan go wild over, you see. With a spoon, a silver spoon. Would you be tempted? Of course not. So why are we attracted by sex pleasure? You see? It's a silver bowl and a silver spoon that it's stooled. Why are we attracted by sex pleasure?
Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jaya.
Of course, if one wants to have family, then it is spiritual. Then one may utilize. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, I am ready to have sex 100 times if I can produce Krishna conscious children. So it is not irreligious. The householder, he can have sex life. And Krishna says, Balang Balavatang Chaham Kama Raga Vivarajatam Dharma Virudo Bhuteshu Kamos Ni Varatarshiva. O best among the Bharatas, I am that sex, I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire, and I am that sex life which is not contrary to religious principles. So that sex of producing Krishna conscious children, Krishna says, that sex is me. But the other sex, for recreation, you see, that's the most disgusting, degrading nightmare you could ever have. You see. So, the point is that if we can truly enter into this mood given by Shukadev Goswami, if we can enter into this spirit of consciousness being described here by Shukadev Goswami, then nothing of this material world will ever appeal to us ever again. We will no longer be bewildered by Maya. Why? Vishaya vini vartante niraha rasya dehina rasya varshang rasyopyasya tarang parang drishva nivartante. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remain. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness, you see. That's why we have our cookbook, The Higher Taste, you see. Because this is indeed the higher taste. Once you get a taste of Krishna consciousness, you will not be attracted by anything in this world. Just like our Giriraj Maharaj, my wonderful godbrother, Giriraj Maharaj. He's the son of a wealthy millionaire lawyer, you see. His father came all the way to Bombay to bribe him to come back to the material life. He was not attracted. He would rather remain a poor sannyasi. Actually, he was a brahmachari then, a penniless brahmachari, you see. He preferred to remain a penniless brahmachari than to become a wealthy millionaire, you see, with his father's money. You see. Penniless brahmachari. He gave up being a millionaire to be a penniless brahmachari, you see. So, this is not artificial renunciation. Because when you become Krishna conscious, I'm talking about really become Krishna conscious, purely Krishna conscious, pure devotee of the Lord, you see, who's fully surrendered to Krishna, then what happens? Krishna becomes your personal property. You see, that person who owns everything, that person who controls everything now becomes your personal property. So how you can be lacking in anything? You cannot never be lacking in anything. Ananyas chintayanto mang ye jana paryapasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogachemam vaham yaham. Krishna says, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve whatever they have and I provide whatever they lack. Prabhupada elaborated, he said, Krishna personally delivers to your front door. Can you imagine if Krishna came like the DHL man, deliver whatever you need? Well, that's what he does. He serves his devotee as a humble messenger, as a humble delivery man. That's the mood that Krishna takes for his pure devotees. He becomes the humble delivery man of his devotees, like he did for Arjuna driving the chariot, you see. So if you become the pure devotee of Krishna, you own the person who owns everything. Actually, you own him. Because he owns you, you've totally given yourself to him. Now he says, okay, because I own you, now I would like to be owned by you. You see, That's called loving reciprocation. When Krishna sees that you're totally owned by Him, then He says, okay, now you're totally under me. You become completely under my ownership. Now I would like for you to become my owner. Krishna takes that position for His pure devotee. You see. So therefore a pure devotee is never lacking anything. See, he can come to America with 40 rupees and within a few years he can own the Fisher Mansion in Detroit and have hundreds of vehicles, hundreds of houses, millions of dollars from 40 rupees. You see? Because he was completely owned by Krishna. Totally sold out to Krishna. So this is how we should pray. My dear Lord, please take over my life completely. Please bless me, I can give up my false sense of independence. Actually, none of us are independent. We think we're independent, but actually we have a choice of how we want to be controlled. That's the only independence we really have. Do you want to be under the spiritual energy or the material energy? Do I want to obey the laws of the state as a free citizen or as a prisoner? You see, that's our choice. Krishna is the supreme controller, Parameshwar. We have no choice. We have one of two ways to serve Him, voluntarily or by force. So those who are intelligent, they choose to serve Krishna voluntarily because they understand they can become an intimate associate of the Lord in their service to Him. And enjoy equally with Him. You see? So in this way, we must try to understand this Krishna consciousness philosophy. We should not be misled by impersonal philosophy. We should not be misled by pseudo-Vaishnavas and Sahajas and Mayavadis and Yogis. And so many people who are trying to market so-called self-realization in the world today. I can tell you it's 99.9999% garbage what's out there. Practically the only place you can get everything you need to become perfect is right here in ISKCON. Anywhere else you go, practically you're going to get different degrees of garbage. Contamination, Mayavadiism, Sahajism. Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra ki jai, Shri Panchatattva ki jai. So we should stick very closely to the teachings of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Not in a sectarian way, not blindly. But we should understand that Prabhupada has given the most complete, total presentation of absolute truth found anywhere in the world. And He's given the most perfect system of realizing it. There's no one else who has done it. No Gaudiya Sannyasi has done what Prabhupada has done. He was the only one of the Gaudiya Sannyasis who fully understood the mission, the spirit, and the mood of His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa. Parivajakacharya, Astadara Sadashi Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. We offer all respect to the other Gaudiyas, but we don't go to them because actually they criticize Srila Prabhupada. I've seen. They criticize Him. Oh, He trained us incorrectly. No. Prabhupada did not train us incorrectly. Srila Prabhupada trained us perfectly. How to become pure devotees. All the way from Shraddha, all the way to Krishna Prema. Every step. It's not that Prabhupada only gave us up to step number 7, or step number 6, and now someone else has to take us higher. No way. Prabhupada gave us everything we need to go all the way from Shraddha, to Sadhusanga, to Bhajana Kriya, to Anartana Vritti, to Nishta, to Ruchi, to Asakti, to Bhava and Prem. Every single step, Prabhupada is there to guide us at every minute. Prabhupada is still present with us. For those who have sold themselves out to His teachings, Prabhupada is present in their hearts at every minute. And He will guide through from within the heart and through the medium of His representatives. He will guide the sincere soul who is trying to attain pure Krishna prema. We have everything. Prabhupada is still there for anyone who wants to achieve pure bhakti. Prabhupada is still available in his books, within the heart for those who are pure-minded, and through his representatives. Prabhupada is still fully present. So we should take full advantage of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, the greatest, most powerful acharya in the history of the universe. Stick tightly to his teachings and spread his movement to every town, to every village on this planet. So I can ask now if there's any questions. If not, I can get ready to go to the airport. Oh, okay. You be ready to, Sanat Kumar, you be ready to tell me what he said in the air.
Krishna once thought within himself that he is worshipped by a lot of people according to rules and regulations, injunction of the Shastras. But I tell you, more happy with the bhakti shown by the Vrajabhumi, the pure devotee.
Yes, yes, yes. So what is he asking?
Krishna thought that he is being worshipped all over the world with his, according to his sastric injunction.
Yes.
Awe and reverence.
So what's the question?
But he wants to become like Mahaprabhu. He is more happy with the bhakti shown by the Vrajabhumi.
Yes, yes. So what is the question? So, you want to know how to get beyond the rules and regulations and achieve the mood of the Vrijabhasis? Is that what you're asking? Okay. Well, first of all, do not think there's something wrong with holding fast to the rules and regulations. That's not a defect. You shouldn't think that way. This is described by Srila Rupa Goswami, Niyam Agraha. If you're too much into rules and regulations, that can cause a fall down. But if you're too neglectful, that can also cause a fall down. So to say, oh, we shouldn't be so much into rules and regulations, you can say we shouldn't be too much into rules and regulations. But if you say we shouldn't be into them at all, that's cause for fall down. So it's not a matter of giving up the rules and regulations. It's a matter of the proper balance, Prabhu. You understand? Niyam agraha means if you go in either direction, if you're too tight or too loose, in either connection, in either way you can fall down. So you have to find the proper balance, and that is actually love. You have to learn how to act out of love for Krishna. You have to develop the mood of service, you see. If you have the mood of service, that's the mood of the Vrajabhasis. Just like you have Jashoda, Kirtida, da means giving. You see. So the Vrajabhasi spirit means always want to serve. Because we have no taste for service in the present moment, we're being given rules and regulations. Well, you have to do this service. You see. You might be sleeping in the Brahmacharya ashram and saying, Prabhu, you're supposed to be offering the arti right now. You see. You're supposed to be doing this service. See, right now we're too much attracted to eating and sleeping and not doing the service. The Vrajabhasis, they don't care anything for sleeping and eating. Their mood is service 24 hours a day. You see. So because we're in a diseased condition, we require rules and regulations. The example given by our acharyas is that of the sugar candy and jaundice. You see. Does a healthy person need to be told to eat sugar candy? No. He will eat it whenever he gets a chance. Oh, I enjoy the sugar candy. But a sick person, he does not want to take sugar candy. So the doctor says, you have jaundice. The cure for this jaundice is you take sugar candy. So, as rules and regulation, he takes the sugar candy. But by taking that sugar candy, the natural sweetness of that sugar candy comes back, and then he spontaneously takes it. So now we are doing bhakti under rules and regulations, because it is bitter poison for us to rise early in the morning. You see, it is bitter poison. Even many of our house sitters, they don't get up before sunrise, you see. It's bitter poison. So, on rules and regulations, the Guru orders, no, you must ride before sunrise. Sing the Gavastakam prayers, take your bath, sing Gavastakam prayers, chant Hare Krishna Japa very nicely, as many rounds as possible before sunrise. In this way, the spiritual master orders, you must do this. So the disciple then, on the order, well, Guruji has ordered me, I have to try my best. See? So by doing that on the order of the physician, the spiritual master, then the natural taste comes. So to say the rules are bad, we should act spontaneously. We cannot act spontaneously in pure bhakti. Some who try to act it spontaneously, it's called sahaja, artificial. I knew one girl, hippie girl, she went to Vrindavan, to Radhakunda with a hippie boy. They were having illicit sex, you see, hippies. And they went to some Radhakunda Babaji. And he wanted to give them Raganuga, instant Raganuga. So he told this girl, you were such and such gopi in Krishna's Leela, and you should always remember this gopi in Krishna's Leela. So she would meditate on that gopi and then have illicit sex right there in Radhakunda, you see, so-called Raganuga. So you cannot have Raganuga as long as you're violating religious principles. So we must follow the rules and regulations. We shouldn't think the rules and regulations are the essence. No. The rules and regulations are a means for achieving the end of that pure serving mood. You see. I don't think we can say that, you know, ISKCON is overly obsessed in rules and regulations. I don't think we're following rules and regulations strictly enough from what I see. As we did in Prabhupada this year. I see too much neglect of the rules and regulations in ISKCON at the present time. It's like in Vedic culture, a man and woman would never embrace publicly. But in America, the devotee festivals, they are embracing, men and women embracing. It's against the Vedic rules. I don't think we can say that we're too loose about rules and regulations right now in ISKCON. That's a thing. Too many householders are having illicit sex for recreation. We're too loose in the rules and regulations right now. But to take the rules and regulations as the all in all, that's also a defect. We have to understand this is something to help me come to the point of spontaneous love. I mean, I've seen an example of the fanaticism is, when I was a brahmachari, I was attending a Rathayatra festival. And I was about to eat a sweet. So one brahmachari came up to me and he said, stop! That's a dhoti whitener. In other words, if you eat that sweet, you're going to fall down and get married. You're going to give up being a brahmachari. A brahmachari doesn't eat sweets. Guess who was married shortly after that? He was, not me. I was a strict brahmachari for 14 years. He was married shortly after he warned me about the dhoti whitener. His dhoti was white within a few months after that. That's an example of maybe what you were talking about. There used to be so many things. Prabhupada said this and Prabhupada said that. And one was, Prabhupada said you can only have 7 chickpeas for breakfast. If you have more than 7 chickpeas, you'll fall down into illicit sex. And you'd be hungry, you know, young, and you're told 7 chickpeas and that's it, you know. 7 chickpeas and 1 piece of ginger and 2 slices of oranges. We used to have some of the most austere breakfasts in ISKCON you could ever imagine. You know? Couldn't imagine. You know? Devotees who went on book distribution, they got a big meal. The rest of us just had a few chickpeas, you know, or seven chickpeas, and that was it. You know? So there is a tendency to be fanatical also. And that does happen in our movement too. That's a thing. Just like... there's so many examples there, but both problems are there in our movement right now. We're too fanatical signs about rules, and we're too loose. Both problems are going on right now. Both problems are there. So we have, in those cases where we're too fanatical about rules, we shouldn't be so fanatical. In those cases where we're too loose, we have to become more strict. So how do you know how to do that? You require senior devotees. You require a bona fide spiritual master and initiating guru. You require siksha gurus, persons who are ideal examples, who know where the proper balance is. I mean, some rules and regulations you have to break sometimes. Prabhupada did. You know that? When Prabhupada came to America, he had no place to stay. He was staying with one couple. Then the boy later on became his disciple. But so Prabhupada was keeping his bhoga in the refrigerator. But when he went to put his bhoga, he saw there was meat in the refrigerator. That is against Vedic rules. You never put food you're going to offer to Krishna next to meat in a refrigerator, and it's completely against the rules. But Prabhupada had to do it so he could preach. So sometimes the rules have to be broken. But Prabhupada said, in the presence of one's spiritual master, one should inquire what to do. You see, as long as your spiritual master is available, or there are other senior god brothers there, you should inquire from them what to do. Don't be thinking, oh, now I'm a preacher, I can break in all the rules. That can lead to a fall down, you see. So, you may say, well, this is really confusing now. What am I supposed to do? This is too confusing what you've said, Sankarshan Prabhu. This is too confusing. How am I supposed to figure out what to do now? What to follow, what not to follow? Where am I too loose? Where am I too strict? How am I supposed to figure out what to do now? You're telling me this stuff and you're getting on the plane and taking off and now I'm confused what to do. Are you being cruel to me or what are you doing? You see, one may ask. But actually, the answer is given in Krishna, by Krishna, how to handle this conflict between looseness and strictness. That is given by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, most mercifully given in chapter 10. You may know that verse. Text number 10. Tesham tatada yuktanam bhajatam prittipurvakam dadami buriyogam tam yenamam upriyanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding exactly what they need to do at every second, in every situation, so they can come to me as soon as possible. So all you got to do, Prabhu, is be sincere. And then you'll know. You see, then you'll know. It'll become clear. What is the proper application of rules and regulations? How not to be too loose and how not to be too strict. And if you follow that pathway, which is given by Rupa Goswami, who's one of the gopis in Krishna's pastimes, he came down and took on the rules and regulations of a sannyasi. He's a Brijabasi gopi. But he came down and took up the position of sannyasi to show how to properly follow rules and regulations. He is given the nectar devotion, which is full of so many rules and regulations. But that is given by a Brijabasi gopi. You understand? He has given us those rules and regulations so that we can achieve that spontaneous Vaganuga platform. The nectar devotion, the first section, sadhana bhakti, and then Raganuga. Why not Raganuga first? In Austin, where I have my ashram, there's a big ashram of one sahaja sannyasi. And they say our philosophy is Raganuga bhakti. That's where they start everybody. Everybody starts from the very beginning, Raganuga. He has many sannyasis who are helping him. And guess what? They're all women. The sannyasinis are there to initiate everyone into raganuga bhakti from the very beginning, you see. While they're having illicit sex, eating meat, intoxication and gambling, they're getting raganuga bhakti. Is that possible? What do you think? Can someone who is breaking these regulations, can they get raganuga? Is that possible? No. The regulations are necessary to purify us of the tendency for sense gratification. By following the rules and regulations, then we can become detached from sense gratification, and that will enable us to actually get a true taste for the holy name that will carry us all the way back to Goloka Vrindavan to enter into those sublime pastimes of Krishna and the Vrijabhasis. Have I made it very clear for you, Prabhu? You understand?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell me what he's saying? Give me a synopsis. I'm a little hard of hearing, so you're too far away. We only have like 2 minutes left, so. I couldn't follow everything you say, but I would, because of my hearing problem. But the essence is this. Whatever order your spiritual master gives you, that must be strictly followed. That's a thing. As far as all the detailed rules in the scriptures, the spiritual master has perfect knowledge of what has to be obeyed and what has not to be obeyed. There's one injunction. If you see the face of a materialist, you must immediately jump in the Ganges with all your clothes on. So what are you going to do if you see a materialist? You're going to get a ticket? Can you afford to go out to Kli and get on an airplane every time you see the face of a materialist and go jump in the Ganges? No, it's not practical. But what you must follow is whatever instruction your spiritual master gives you, that you must strictly follow. That is the injunction. Whatever order he gives you, you must embrace that as your very life and soul. There's no looseness there. That is strict. How to follow all the different shastric rules and regulations, that the spiritual master will guide you. You do whatever he says and you'll be properly situated. That's the key. Yashya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru tustyayate katita yata prakashante mahatmana. Only unto those persons who have unflinching faith in the words of their spiritual master and the words of Krishna spoken in the Bhagavad Gita can achieve perfect realization of the Vedic wisdom. So you have to have that faith in the words of your Guru Maharaj. Whatever instruction he gives me, it is my life and soul. There's no leniency there. That must be strictly obeyed. Prabhupada said, that is my success. Whatever order my spiritual master gave me, I have strictly followed that instruction. And that is, there's no leniency there. I must strictly obey the spiritual master. So, I wanted to stop here because we have to get ready to go to Sydney. But anyone who has questions who didn't get them answered or was too shy to ask them publicly, you can write down my email address and write me an email. That's SDA for Sankarshan Das Adhikari, SDA at backtohome.com, BACKTOHOME, SDA at backtohome.com. And if you go to www.backtohome.com, you can sign up for my free e-course and get something, some Krishna conscious katha every day in your email to encourage you on your pathway back to Godhead. So I thank you all very much for so kindly receiving myself along with my good wife Vishnupriya Devi Dasi on this visit here to Kuala Lumpur. And if you'd like, we can. Would you like us to come back again?
Yes.
Yes? All right. So we will come back again. Krishna willing, we will come back again to share more nectar with you of this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.